with us this evening, and for that we are so grateful. This is The No Show. Welcome. And you have been listening to my dear friend Al, who has entitled that particular song, Friends We Meet Along the Way. And it is very appropriate for our discussion this evening because we are talking with friends, and we invite you to call in as well on 347-838-9142, or you may come up on the World Wide Web and join us that way if you'd like under The No Show. And we invite you to then go ahead and let us know what your question is or your comment is, and we will bring you into the conversation with our guest this evening. On behalf of our guest co-host, Carrie Kelly and Carl Anderson, we are so grateful that you decided to be right here with us where it is that you are and where we are, because had it not been for your being here, we wouldn't be here either. So we are grateful on this particular day in the 2015th year of all of us being around on this particular side of the planet, and we are happy. We're visiting with Dr. Maisha Hazard, my very, very, very good friend, who I have known for years. She is an author. She is a Blog Talk radio show host herself. She is a teacher and academician. She was for a wonder-filled period of time with a number of folks over in California that you probably know of, Dr. Beckwith and all of the folks over that way at Agape. She was on staff with those folks there. And now she has decided for a few minutes, about 59.40 to be exact, to spend a little time with us, for all of us, to talk about new thought metaphysics, where it is that we are going, what we want to do differently, what it is that has worked, and whether or not new thought now needs a new thought itself. Good evening, Dr. Maisha Hazard. How are you?
I'm fine. Good evening, Reverend Robert.
Robert
Mack, as I know you.
Yeah, there you go. Just call me Robert Mack. I mean, I wouldn't know who you're talking to if you say Reverend Robert. I'm going to call you mine. Absolutely. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's give the folks a little history here in terms of how it was that we decided that this was going to be our conversation, because originally we had, as we always do, come up with about 10 or 15 other things. So why don't you share how it is that we agree to talk about this, and why, to you, this topic is so important?
Well, first of all, good evening, everyone, and it's my pleasure to have this opportunity to have a conversation with you. Last week, Robert and I were talking about things going on in the New Thought community. I prefer to really call it the New Thought Ageless Wisdom community, and tend to identify myself more as someone celebrating ageless wisdom rather than to talk about new thought and ancient wisdom and all of those things. But while we were conversing last week, I said to Robert that I have had conversations with a number of colleagues in New Thought Ministries, and I've often said sometimes I believe that new thought needs some new thoughts. And I said that on various occasions, partly because of a sense that New Thought was becoming institutionalized in a certain way, becoming sort of an inbred kind of philosophy. And while I've watched a lot of New Thought churches invite new ideas, even bringing in angels and crystals and energy psychology and science over the past 15 to 20 years, for some reason, it seems that the new ideas or the new thoughts sort of float on the surface and are not necessarily integrated into our understanding of new thought in the 20th century. Now, even beyond that, really coming to an understanding that my background is in divine science with Dr. Joseph Murphy back when I was a teenager, and later on with religious science or science of mind. And from those perspectives, I remember hearing all the time that Dr. Holmes said, keep it open at the top. And
yeah.
A lot of times we would talk about that in ministerial school, in school when we were becoming practitioners. We talked about keeping open at the top. At the same time, there was a lid put on the language that you could use, how you could talk about things, what words were okay to use. There was a sense that there were some things that were okay to be included in the curriculum, and most of those things came directly from Dr. Holmes, and other things that should be left out. They were not part of the philosophy of science of mind in particular. And I kept saying, okay, but Dr. Holmes said, keep open at the top. In other words, he understood that it was not finished, that he didn't have the end-all and be-all, that he had opened a space for, and this is my interpretation, a space that could accommodate people from any of the world's spiritual traditions, that the heavy language of Christianity or Judaism or any other religion would not be so dominant that people from different religions couldn't step in and understand the essential principles, understand the practices. And I really think that the unique place that New Thought people have in the world today is that we really can hold that space in the world where the universal principles that show up in all of the spiritual practices, all of the religious traditions, can be held, can be perceived, can be understood, and can be respected. Because in the long run, all of humanity is in some way searching for a deeper understanding of who we are and how we fit in this universe and what power we have to direct our lives. And that quest for a deeper understanding, that quest for practices that empower us, is inside of each and every human being, no matter what name we call the creative force in the universe. And as a matter of fact, if we think about it, if there are at least 10,000 languages and dialects on planet Earth, we can assume that there would be at least 10,000 names or words for the creative presence that is within and behind all of creation. So why are we going to war over what name we call the one presence? If we have people around the world who are saying that there's one God, one creative source, then what makes us think it's a different one because it's being called by a different name in one group? It's Allah, Elohim, Yahweh, you know, whatever it is. Why can't we figure out that it's all the same? And so actually, I think the New Thought has the potential to stand in that place in the center and create bridges across. Bridges of understanding, bridges of respect, bridges of acknowledgement of who we are in our humanity and in our spirituality, so that there can be a greater sense of oneness, a greater sense of the unity of humanity as we look at spirituality. So on one hand, I'm saying, okay, and by the way, for those of you listening, we just had a very brief conversation where we acknowledged that I think, Robert, you were saying someone communicated with you today and had a question about what's happening to New Thought Communities. Let me let you say what he said. Why don't you bring that up about the numbers?
Yeah. Well, that's right. One of my Facebook friends actually saw what we are talking about tonight, and he said back to me right before we came on the air, actually, which was interesting. He said, you know, this is a fascinating subject, and I want to be a part of that. So I assume that he is probably online with us, and I invite him to call in at 347-838-9142 and press 1 and to be a part of the conversation. But his dialogue with me on Facebook was, the places where I've been, he said, it seems to me that New Thought Metaphysics is shrinking, and that the people in those areas are now leaving, and as they leave, it seems that they are not being replaced by younger folks or people who are then able to take over and support what has been going on in that area. And so that was the conversation that I had with Maya a little bit earlier as we began our conversation, and also Carrie Kelly. And while we're here, folks, I want to invite Carl Anderson as well to say hello. He has joined us from Maryland and the Unity Center of Light over there with my dear friend, Reverend Butch Mosby. Good evening, Carl. How are you?
Good evening.
Excellent. Welcome. Thank you so much. We'll give you a chance to just catch your breath here as you catch up with us. We're just into the first lap of the of this round, and so all of our microphones are open, guys. I want for you all to know that. And now I want to go back, Mai, so that you can answer that and share further in terms of what you were saying relative to the question that this young man had asked of me.
Okay. There are a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, I'll speak now from the science of mind perspective. Dr. Holmes really didn't want to start a church. He wasn't interested in that. And my understanding is that in the beginning of his lecturing, before Religious Science Church actually was founded, his idea was that he would teach universal principles, and people could come from whatever religion they had been practicing, and they could learn these universal principles, and they could use them in their personal lives, and they could go back to the synagogue or the temple, they could go back to the church, the cathedral, they could go back to their original religious traditions and understand what that tradition was about from a slightly different perspective, perhaps from a more universal perspective. And that was kind of understood. Then as it became a church, and as I think the New Thought movement continued to grow, I think within the community there were thoughts amongst some that what we had was superior to the traditional religions around the world. And I can remember when I was at City of Angels Church of Religious Science with Dr. O.C. Smith, and I was with him for years as his associate minister, that I would say to the congregation, say to people in the classes, let's stop for a moment. Because someone calls the name of Jesus does not mean that they don't have an understanding of spiritual principles. They may not talk about it the way we talk about it. Because they're talking about the devil doesn't mean that somewhere underneath their conversation, their language, their semantics, that they don't have an understanding that we have. Let's back up for a moment and understand that if we're talking about Yeshua, whom many call Jesus, that, you know, we're talking about a great teacher. Let's look at the teachings and see what the universal principles are within it. We don't have to be upset with folks because they're calling on Jesus. We can say, all right, so Jesus represents for them the power of the presence. He represents the humanized expression of the divine. He is the example of what we can all become. That's what we are told he said. So let's not go to war with them. Let's or assume our superiority, because let's back up for a moment. If our understanding is so great, if our way of praying is so powerful, then why do we have people who are still praying about the same thing over and over and over again without demonstration? Yes, we have demonstration. Mm-hmm. But we also have large areas of things in people's lives where the same things keep happening and the same prayers are said and there's no visible demonstration. And the same thing happens whether someone is a Muslim, someone is Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Baha'i. I mean, we can keep going on in all of the world's religion. So, with that understood, when we realize that people from other spiritual traditions have prayers that are answered, that means they must have an understanding. They must have struck the, they must have kissed the Blarney Stone. They must have struck the rock to get the water to pour out from it, in the same way that we say we do with our affirmative prayer. So can we stop? Can we stop dealing in separation for a moment and look to see what is it that is represented in New Thought that has given clarity to the universal principles, that has given clarity to what the essence of prayer is? And then let's look in other traditions and see how that is in evidence when prayers are answered by anyone in the world, even if they don't have a religion. There's a process of thought. There's a process of imagining. There's a process of feeling, inner feeling, that human beings use, whether they have a religion or not, that somehow brings forth evidence, brings forth demonstrations. So if we can back up for a moment and not think that we're more right, more correct than somebody else, but to think that New Thought, for me, was powerful in giving me a deeper understanding of what I was raised to know and believe. It took it to another level for me in my understanding. It wasn't that what I was taught was wrong. It was that I wasn't clear about how to use it. I wasn't clear about how it worked. And New Thought gave me a clear understanding, first and foremost, about how mind works. It took all the religious symbolism, all the mythology, all of the ideas that I didn't quite get, all the personalities, out of the way and said, all right, every human being operates in mind. We have a conscious mind, we have a subconscious mind, and then there is a superconscious mind that is the all-encompassing mind, that is the all-knowing mind. That, for me, was the greatest point of liberation. To understand without any of the religious jargon there, without what I call the cultural camouflage of religion, all of that taken away, it was like every human being is made in this way. We have a mind, and that mind is personal in our expression of it and in our experience of it, and universal in potential, in our own potential. And so when we talk about the numbers dwindling, I don't want to miss the point of the young man's comment. When, for some, getting the understanding of how mind works, getting the understanding of our relationship in oneness with the omnipresence, with the creator, creative force of the universe. That was a moment of clarifying some of the things that had been so lost sometimes in the stories from the Bible or in the stories from the Quran, the stories from the Torah, the stories from the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads, that part of who we all are, what everyone is, was lost. And so having gotten that, folks could go back to deal with the things that they kind of enjoyed from their upbringing, from their experience in church, their experience in the synagogue, in the mosque, wherever they went. They could go back to that, but they were hearing with new eyes, with new ears, hearing with new eyes too, I guess. Seeing with new eyes, hearing with new ears. Having a deeper understanding. Okay, so a little mixing up the senses there. So now we look at, you brought up Joel Osteen, Robert, in our few minutes before the program began. And
right.
His massive audience worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He fills a stadium, you know, every Sunday, right? And you have Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Myers and T.D. Jakes. And all of them are including the principles of positive thinking, the principles of prosperity. They're called the prosperity ministries, the possibilities ministries. If we put the Crystal Cathedral and Bob Shuler back into the mix, who introduced the same thing. And so I think from what the religions do when folks go back to the churches and the temples and the mosques is they go back into a cultural way of celebrating the universal principles that is sometimes missing from the New Thought community. Where sometimes, I know in many of the Science of Mind communities, sometimes it's so cerebral, so intellectual. I used to say to O.C. Smith a lot, we used to have these very early morning breakfast meetings, and we'd go walk in and we'd go out to breakfast. And often I would say to him, hey, man, how different would this be if this were art of the heart rather than science of mind? And I wasn't trying to replace science of mind with art of the heart. I really think it's more like yin-yang. It's the perfect balance of the two, science of mind and art of the heart. And I said, because folks are so cerebral about this, so intellectual. When change comes from the heart, it comes from the feeling nature, not really from the thoughts themselves, the thoughts that are not fueled by emotion or feeling tone. Just kind of drop into nothingness. They don't have enough energy to propel them into form, so to speak. So when you think about that, maybe folks are going back to some of the traditional churches and temples and synagogues and mosques because they're going back for what is there that touched them in their feeling nature. So they have the science of mind. They have the mental science, the understanding that comes from New Thought. They have the New Thought. And they're able, through the music in their church, through the cantor singing and through the rituals, their feeling nature is touched. And sometimes New Thought has been so removed from understanding the purpose of ritual, what it does at the feeling level, understanding what the compelling elements that touch into folks' souls, what those things are. And the change doesn't really come from the head. It doesn't come from the intellect. It's good to have an intellectual understanding. But then to make the stuff work, it's got to be activated at the heart level. And so O.C. would look at me and he would say, so you want to change the whole thing? I said, no, I want to, I'm saying something's missing. Something is missing.
That's right. That's
and are we
right.
willing
That's...
to have the conversation? Because it may be the thing that has been missing in traditional religions, maybe it was the intellectual understanding of who we are beyond, who we are as human beings, not just as folks coming from a particular culture, but as human beings. Maybe that part's missing in Christianity. Maybe that part's missing in Judaism and Hinduism, the universal aspect of our human experience. And maybe a new thought, what's missing, it has been missing, is the true understanding of who we are in our feeling nature and how that works in the creative process. So I've been going on for a long time. If somebody wants to jump in and ask a question or make a comment, let me be still.
I'm going to thank you, first of all, and folks, let me tell you, she is just getting started, okay? I have been knowing this phenomenal woman for a number of years, and as a matter of fact, she actually introduced me to the philosophy of New Thought metaphysics during a period of time when I was in serious pain. Dr. Maisha Hazard is the daughter of my former college president, Dr. Walter R. Hazard. And I walked around the corner, literally, when my father-in-law called me and sat on their steps with my head in my hands, crying, trying to figure out what it was that I could do now and how I could make sense of the world, because my wife and my two kids had died in a fire. And so I was trying to understand that. And Maisha had shared a book with me a year and a half before that experience called The Cosmic Energizer by Dr. Joseph Murphy, whom she mentioned a little bit earlier. And I called Dr. Murphy after I'd left from Maisha's and Dr. and Mrs. Hazard's, and just felt their love and their energy surrounding me. And I called him, and he said to me this. He actually answered his phone. This man has thousands of books and is just a phenomenal person, and I didn't even expect to get him. But for some reason, something said to me to call. And when I called, he answered his phone. And he said to me this. He said, "Well, I understand where it is that you are. And my suggestion is that if there is a religious science of mind church there in," where did you say you are? Little Rock, Arkansas? I said, "Yes, that's right." He said, "Oh, my God, okay, well, anyway, see if there is a science of mind church there. If not, see if there is a unity church there. If not, a universal foundation for better living, a Johnny Coleman church there. All of those are New Thought metaphysical churches that will then help you to understand what life is all about and what life after life is all about. And so I want for you to get into a community where you can receive the type of assistance that you need right now. And if you will do that, then I think you will start to understand this whole process a lot more." So I want to kind of start there, Maisha. And I think that we, in this New Thought metaphysical field, need to do a lot more of sharing our personal stories. We need to tell people how it is that we came into this experience. We need to help them to understand, though, that books had been given to me, like you had with The Cosmic Energizer, 2 years before. And then this book falls off of the shelf and hits me in the head, and I say, "Okay, yes, let me do this. I call that spiritual awareness, folks, or spiritual acuity. It means that there are no accidents in life. Everything in life happens for a reason. There's serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. But it's up to us to kind of figure it out with the help of Maisha Hazard's, with the help of Robert McMillan's, Carl Anderson's, Carrie Kelly's, and all of those of you who are on the line with us right now. It is up to all of us to then help each other to make sense of the senseless. So I'm going to go back for a moment. Right before I do that, let me just share with everyone that we are so pleased that you all decided to stop by and visit with us this evening. This is The No Show. I am your host, Robert J.V. McMillan, and my guest, our guest this evening, is Dr. Maisha Hazard, who lives in California and travels all over the world sharing this New Thought metaphysical message. Our discussion this evening is, how do we keep New Thought new? What is it that we need to do in order to not fall into that trap of having things become so common that then we miss out on what it is that is important? So that is what it is that we are sharing with you this evening. And we are also talking about words like the devil. The devil, what does that mean? We're talking about challenge and how it is that we look at challenge. We're talking about prejudice. And you know, the baby said in the little song thousands of years ago this lifetime about prejudice, she said, "I think it's when somebody is sick." And that's exactly right. But what underneath all of that oftentimes is a sickness that is more in the mind than it is anywhere else. Maisha mentioned the three phases of mind, subconscious, superconscious, and conscious mind. And those phases of mind, then we are all operating with those at all times. So where is it that we are at that particular time? And when she mentioned O.C. Smith, by the way, for those of you who are old like I am, and I'm older than Maisha Hazard, so I can say
yes,
this.
Yes, you are.
and you are proud to admit that, aren't you?
A half a minute,
Smith
but
gave us. I know that. O.C. Smith gave us little green apples. If you remember the song, God didn't make little green apples. It don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. I think it was God, and
mm-hmm.
I still remember that. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
That's the O.C. Smith, who I think was from some part of Arkansas. Is that right, Maya? He was from Arkansas,
he was actually
wasn't
born
he?
In Shreveport, but lived in Little Rock. Lived in Little Rock. His father was from Little Rock, and so he did spend part of his childhood in Little Rock.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I want to thank you all for taking time. If you would like to ask a question, if there is something about this field of New Thought metaphysics that you've been wondering about, this is, believe me, this is the time for you to ask that question. We have an authoritarian here with us tonight, and she will share with us from her heart, from her experiences, from her pain, as well as from her love. And so we invite you to do that. Again, if you'd like to ask a question and you're on the phone with us, and I see that a number of you have called in, please press 1 on your phone. That will alert me to bring you into the conversation. If you are online, and I see those of you who are there, please ask your question in the chat room, or also pick up your phone, your cell phone, or your landline phone, if anybody still has one of those, and dial the number 347-838-9142, and we will bring you in. And I appreciate that. Okay, so please stand by. Actually, Mike, we do have a call and a question from a 512 number. So I'd like to go there now, if I may. Good evening, 512-914. How are you, and do you have a question or a statement, please?
Yes, I do. What's going on, Robert?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I love the observation about ritual. I love what she had to say about that. I absolutely agree that, and it's a bit ironic maybe, that we're trying to keep it new. And I think one of the ways that we can inform new thought and religion in general in order to keep it new is find a way to not only honor ritual, but to adapt treasured rituals that we've all had in religion and even in our family systems. That will go ahead and inform and populate our emotions and our feeling side of some of these things that you folks are discussing. As you know, New Thought and similar things, basically including the 12 steps, saved my life. I'm a recovering person.
Mm-hmm.
So in the recovery community, which is now 75 years old, give or take, we do have some rituals. Frankly, a lot of them I don't care for very much, but my brothers and sisters in the recovery do like them a lot. So I think
mm-hmm.
that's a very important thing to establish and go ahead and carry on with beneficial rituals, and I'd like the doctor's opinion on that.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you, Brother Jeff. I appreciate that. I'm going to put you on hold for a moment and let Maisha deal with that question. Thank you. Stand by, Jeff.
I love to talk about the rituals of various religions and spiritual practices around the world because I think A lot of folks have grown up in communities and they've been a part of rituals, but have not necessarily come to an understanding about what is within and behind the ritual. Even ministers, I know a lot of the New Thought ministers, and I've taught in three different schools of ministry. And I found that quite often folks don't understand that if you're talking about baptism, for example, or christening, let's talk about christening of a new baby, that there is an ancient, ageless wisdom behind the idea of christening a child. It's about getting the commitment of the parents and other adults in their lives who will take responsibility for helping to raise the child. That's one level. But the ritual itself of pouring the water on the child's head is really connected to understanding that while in utero, the child has been exposed to the attitudes, the emotions, and the thoughts, and the words, the language of the mother and all of the other adults, the father and all the family members who've been around. And in a sense, the christening is symbolically saying, okay, let us wash away the influences, some of which may have been negative, may have been false, and in this moment declare the innocence and the purity of this soul who is now entering into this human experience and starts now without conditioning and without programming. That's kind of what the christening is about. It's the same thing. The baptism is a ritual for kind of washing away the old thoughts, the old beliefs, to symbolically say to the person, now you can stand new. You can stand fresh. You can stand without the old conditioned mind, open and receptive to new revelations, new understanding. If you're talking about rites of passage within, say, at 13 years old, a confirmation is the way it may show up in a Christian church, or a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah in a Jewish community. Thing. Right. It's a matter of saying, all right, here's a moment when we are recognizing that you are no longer the child that you were. You have reached a point where your body is changing into its adult form and your responsibilities in life are shifting. And so here is the moment when you go on your vision quest, if you are Native American, and you find out what you're made of, and you find out you're taught where what the beliefs are within the community, where your anchoring points are in terms of your spiritual practice, what things you get to do. So you're interacting with the universe through prayer. That's what prayer is, isn't it, or meditation. So the rituals have purpose. When we understand the purpose of the rituals, that they're not just things that you do to rope people in and keep people glued in into a particular worldview, there were, for those who were the originators of the practices, there were ideas, a level of understanding about who we are as human beings incorporated into the rituals. So it does deal with our feeling nature. It deals with our subconscious nature. It deals with the understanding that if we want to change, if our desire is to change, that it's about washing away or erasing the false evidence appearing real, the false ideas, and opening to the new ideas that are hopefully elevated beyond the old ones, so that we can practice in a new way. We can live from a new place. So in the very cerebral, intellectual presentation of Science of Mind, for example, and not as much in Unity, but still present, that cerebral aspect, sometimes folks lost the importance of the song, the importance of communion, not that it was the blood of Yeshua. Obviously, do we really believe that the wine was the wine or the grape juice was the blood? Or are we saying that we are all partaking of the substance of spirit?
The essence, that's right.
The essence and the substance of life. And we are recognizing that we're all sipping on the same substance and recognize our unity as human beings in that. You know, there's many different things behind it. I don't want to keep going with that, but just to say, I think it was to Jeff, that yes, there I think is a need for respecting the things that we turned our backs on. New thoughters often turn their backs on the old rituals, the old ideas, without understanding what the original intent was. It was doing it by from rote rather than from understanding that was the problem, not the
That's
ritual
right.
itself in many instances. So
That's right.
we get a chance to, at this point in time, reclaim all of who we are in our mental aspect and in our feeling aspect. And I think that's really where the essence is. If you look at the big New Thought communities, the ones that are really flourishing, I think you often see that there are uses of music in a special way and dance and you know the things that capture us. I know from having been at Agape, very much many of the people are there as much for Ricky Byers Beckwith's music as
sure.
they are for Michael Bernard Beckwith's message. And in some cases,
sure.
it's the music that touches some of the folks when they don't really catch what it is that Michael's saying. And then there are others who are, the music is nice, but they're really listening to hear what Michael is going to say. So you have, but you have both within the community, and the feeling nature is very much a part of that. The same thing was true at City of Angels with O.C. Smith.
Yeah.
O.C. was an entertainer, and so he incorporated his music. He was a jazz singer. A lot of people showed up because they didn't know which famous musician, jazz musician, was going to show up for service on a Sunday and be called up to play while O.C. sang, or simply to give a rendition of some song on their own. So
right.
it was the music that caught folks.
That's right. That's right. We want to also thank you, Maisha. And can you all see why I love this woman so much? I mean, you know, isn't it obvious? But there are things that New Thought also is that we want to recognize and be grateful and appreciative for. New Thought is progressive. New Thought is inclusive and accepting. New Thought affords an opportunity for people to discuss how it is that they feel about certain things and why. Now, with some traditionalists, we cannot have those discussions because if you don't believe in Jesus, well, it's over right there. Well, let me explain to you how it is that I believe in Jesus and how I believe in other master teachers as well. And so then bringing all of that together, not necessarily at the same time, understandably, but bringing it together in a way that people do get it is what is really important. I want to go over to Maisha Hazard. I want to go for a moment to Carrie Kelly and then to Carl Anderson. And I know that they're both just chomping at the bit to get in here. Carrie, especially relative to you, because you're relatively new by your own admission to the field of New Thought and metaphysics. What are your thoughts as you listen to the conversation between Maisha and I, and your own experiences relative to life and living? What are you? What's on your metaphysical mind?
Well, hello everyone. Basically, what came up for me was what would you? Okay, two things. First, I always want to know how you got to the New Thought lifestyle, so to speak, and where did you transform it from? Like, where did you start, and then how did you get there? And the second thing I would like to know is if there was someone who was hearing this for the very first time and never really heard of New Thought, where would be the a place to start to get the basics about new thought?
Good question.
I can. I'll try to answer the first part of the question quickly. I got into New Thought really as a teenager. And I have to say that before New Thought, many of the ideas that I learned later on in New Thought already had been introduced to me by my father, who was a Methodist minister. But he was more than that. Mm-hmm. He was a mystic and a metaphysician himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a basic foundation in positive Christianity. We did not have a hellfire and brimstone kind of Christian life, and yet it was still centered very much around Yeshua, around Jesus, and you know, basic Christianity. And it also was more than that. So that was that. So when I heard, I was talking to a friend about something one day, my freshman year in college, and her mother overheard me, and she said, oh, I was talking about imagination or something about the mind, something that I had stumbled on. And she said, oh, that sounds like Dr. Joseph Murphy. Why don't you go with me Sunday to hear him? And so on that Sunday, she took me. And when I listened to Dr. Murphy, I got such clarity around so many things, especially around mind, around the conscious, subconscious, and superconscious, or universal mind. Those were liberating factors for me. And beginning at that particular point in time, I started putting to use everything that I learned from Dr. Murphy. I would get on my 10-speed bike and I would ride to the Wilshire E. Bell Theater to hear him on a Sunday morning. And it was a no-nonsense kind of service. You meditated, and there was a sign up saying, people are meditating, please be quiet. And he came out, he spoke, and he was so on it in terms of his presentation of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. He would introduce all of those things, though primarily he dealt from a Judeo-Christian perspective because that's culturally what we understood. So that was that. For someone coming in who's altogether new to New Thought, I always love to have those conversations. I used to teach the new members classes when at City of Angels. And so it was always a joy to talk to people about New Thought and to really say how Jesus fit, because primarily they were Christian coming in from Christian backgrounds, and to talk about the devil. And I'm bringing the devil back up because I left that dangling a little while ago. And so if there are new people on here, and I was saying that I want them to understand where I was coming from. When you talk about Yeshua as the example of who every one of us can be. In the teachings, they say, he said that everything that I've done, you can do also, and even more. So, and he said, our Father. He didn't say my Father. So he was saying, we're made of the same substance. I'm just like you. Simply, I have come into a greater understanding, a greater awareness of the divine presence, and that's who I am. I am living from that place rather than from my human identity. So we talk about that. And then we talk about, well, so what is this Satan, this devil thing? And I would always say to them, that's the backward thinking. That's the false idea, the misunderstanding. Devil is lived backwards. Evil is live or live backwards. And so to understand that when you're living from a backward place, when you're living from a place that is outside of or at the diminishing level of universal truth, then you're living in a space where you don't understand the power that is within you. You don't understand that there's no separation between you and the Almighty I Am. You're living backwardly. And lots of mistakes are made. You do a lot of silly things. The devil made me do it. False ideas, misunderstanding made you do it. And so I would say to folks, you don't have to argue with your relatives who are wondering why you're coming into this new cult. They might think it's that. You don't have to argue with them. You can simply say, I have no problem with Jesus, with Yeshua, a gift to the world. The teachings are a gift to the world. When they talk about the devil, you can in your own mind say, okay, false ideas, misunderstanding, false beliefs, untruths, lies that have been told to us, conditioned mind, programmed by culture, by society, and not by the divine presence within us. And so, you know, to say that I don't have any arguments with Muslims, with Hindus, with Buddhists, with Baha'is, with Native Americans, with the first people of Australia, with the peoples of Africa in indigenous religions. I don't have any arguments with it because I understand, and I think this is what New Thought can give us, if we are willing to have the deeper conversations about it, give us a deeper understanding about human, being human and divine, and
right.
living from in an integrated way from both aspects of our being, not in separation, but in integration, in unity, in such a way that we can use the creativity that is ours to use. We can use our thoughts and our feelings in a way to create lives of peace and prosperity and health and joy and success.
Yes.
And victory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. That's right. Awesome. And the final thing with that, because I want to now get over to Carl Carey, to also get Carl to share from the perspective of what his question might be, and also as a final footnote to the thing in terms of the devil, what we do believe in New Thought and in metaphysics is that there is only one power and presence in the universe, a power for
Absolutely.
Good. And yet we can use this power to do destructive or negative things, or we can use it for good, for powerful, positive things. And we can easily sabotage our own good by repeating unhealthy patterns. Remember that, all right? Remember that, please, always. Brother Carl, do you have a question or a statement for Maisha Hazard?
Yes, and I first must say that I've been watching her words and digesting her words and enjoying every minute of it. My question is two-part. A question, I thought I heard that the New Thought, the numbers in the New Thought movement, churches, centers, whatever, is dwindling, and I'd like to know whether that is true. And within the mm-hmm. answer, my main question is, maybe she has some thoughts on why our church leadership seems to be so tentative about getting in the mix out there. And for example, like not belonging to some of the other churches, there's the United Church of UCC, I've forgotten the full name, but large church organizations that have a lot of the various denominations in it. Why aren't we in there, not proselytizing, because I know that's
uh-huh.
not what we're here for, but just being in the mix of church organizations, who, all of whom are trying to grow their churches. And we are missing our challenge, I think, in terms of what we need to be doing as New Thought people.
Good question. Thank you, Carl.
Well, I think that historically, from what I've seen over the last four decades or so, is that there seemed to have been a kind of separation from our own perspective in New Thought, that we were different from the traditional religions and different traditional spiritual practices. And in some ways, almost thinking that it was superior, and sort of stepping outside of that, not recognizing that New Thought really is about
coming.
It's old thought. It's ageless wisdom. It really is ageless wisdom. The early teachers learned from Christianity and Judaism and Hinduism and Buddhism and so much more in their own lives. And so there's that. in terms of folks not integrating into the other church movements. But let me also say that I think that the potential power of New Thought communities really lies in the fact that I think we have the greatest potential to be the bridges across to all of the spiritual communities, all of the religious communities.
Right.
Because we can, even by our general languaging of things, stand in that place where we are celebrating what is true for all of humanity, about how mind works, mind and heart, about who we are as spiritual beings having a human experience. And we can translate the rituals and dogma, even in some cases, of other religions into universal terms so that folks can see that there really is no war between, no real major difference, except in cultural practices, between a Muslim and a Jew and a Christian and a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Baha'i. And we can go on and on in terms of naming the world religions or the world spiritual practices. And if we could really get into deep conversations about that, I think we would be the real peacemakers and the facilitators of healing. I ran into a quote as I close on this that's today, just before we went on air. The path isn't a straight line. It's a spiral. You continually come back to things you thought you understood and see deeper truths. Are you hearing that?
Wow.
Yes, really, indeed.
That the path isn't a straight line. It's a spiral.
That's right.
You continually
that's
come
right.
back to things you thought you understood and you see deeper truths. And so if we
that's
look
right.
at our old religion, we come back to the old ideas and we understand them in a new way. And we keep doing that. We keep doing that with all of the world's practices and beliefs. We will come to that place of unity, that place of knowing the true oneness.
Absolutely. Yes. Dr. Maisha Hazard, I want for you to share with people where it is that they might reach out and touch you directly, where they might get information relative to where it is that you will be shortly, and all of that. Is there a website or an email address where people might reach out and touch Maisha Hazard?
The quickest thing for me to do is to give you my email right now, which is Dr.
Okay.
Maisha, that's DrMaisha at me.com. DrMaisha@me.com. And so you can reach me there. We do have a website, and it's Kepra-Institute, and Kepra is Kepra-Institute.org, and you can find us there. Lately, I've been kind of in hibernation, sort of in my cave, so I have not been going out too much. I have a Blog Talk radio show that's on hiatus right now. It's a Saturday morning show. I'll be back in October. And on Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio, I have what we call the Chamber of Prayer. So if you go to
Excellent.
Blog Talk Radio, you'll find me there.
All right. We want to thank Mai and all of the folks and all of you who called in and said something and those of you who stood by and didn't. That is my dear friend, and we will have her back again next week on 9/9/2015 right here. Mercedes Guzman, minister, social activist who works with Dr. Barbara King at Hillside Chapel in Atlanta, Georgia, talking about ministering to a divergent population, meeting the needs of the many and the few. Reverend Guzman will discuss the importance of recognizing the divergent needs of a diverse community in one congregation, and then how it is that we meet the needs individually and collectively of that diverse group. All this month, we're doing some phenomenal things in terms of how it is that we need to interact with each other. Folks, I know that you had choices, that you decided to be here. Reverend Dr. Maisha Hazard, thank you so much. We love you, and we will see you again on the No Show. We appreciate who it is that all of you are for showing up in the world that you, in the way that you are, and we know that God is blessing you really well right now. Thanks so much for spending time with us. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Same place, same time. 347-838-9142. My name is Robert McMillan, and until then, we bid you just go forth and be the love that you want to see and receive in the world. God bless. Thank you, Dr. Maisha. We love you so much. Everybody, create a great day, and God bless. We're out of here.